Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Mental Health and Wellbeing in COVID-19 webinar series. I don't even know what episode we're on today. I don't even know what the day is. We've been with you for the whole first 21 days of lockdown and now, of course, into the extension as well. And we are just rolling with the punches. Today, we're going to be discussing two themes. We're going to be discussing guilt and self-compassion. Now, if you didn't get a chance to catch our previous episode, I think it was episode 12, that was dealing specifically with self-compassion and giving yourself an emotional break, then please go watch it straight after this episode. But today we're going to be talking with Caitlin DeBeer, who's our guest for the day. She is a life coach. She runs a very successful online brand. She's a keynote speaker, and she specializes in inspiring individuals and audiences to build healthy EQ. So she's speaking my language, micro language, EQ. She has a couple of different handles on Instagram, Caitlin DeBeer and That Mum Coach. And the reason we're speaking to her today is specifically around some of the work that she's been doing as she's been coaching a lot of her clients and what they've been experiencing in this time of lockdown. I am not a mum myself, but my wife is a mum and I am a dad, of course, and I'm very familiar with the guilt that comes along with not feeling like you're doing justice to the role of being a dad. Now, Caitlin works with a lot of women, helping them and empowering them in that space. And recently, she's on some of her posts, she's commented about that sort of guilt that we feel, or specifically mums, that mum guilt or mummy guilt. So we thought, let's get her on today and chat about it, because of course, this season we're in is a season where so many different things are coming at us and adding so many things onto our plate that mum guilt that people will be feeling, of course, is bound to be intensified in this time. So she's agreed to chat with us, and we're going to have a conversation about that in a second. But of course, let me just remind you again, you don't have to be a mother to take some of the things that are said and to be able to apply them in your own lives. You might be a dad, you might be a CEO, you might be anything. The guilt that we may be feeling and dealing with in this time, that's the theme we're going to be speaking about, even if the practical angle is a little bit more towards mums. But who knows, maybe it won't be. Let's see how the conversation goes. Okay, let's get Caitlin on the line here. Caitlin, can you hear me? Where is she? Sorry, click that other button. There we go. Hey, Caitlin, so great to have you join us today. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while because the truth is my wife is quite a fan of yours. In fact, she has been telling me for quite a while, you got to connect with Caitlin, you got to connect with Caitlin. Anyway, thank you so much for being willing to be on this this webinar with us, this interview. Do you want to say hello to our viewers?
Yes, of course. How's it? It's lovely to be here. And yeah, I'm excited. I think what you guys are doing is amazing. So privileged to be here.
Cool. Well, again, thanks so much for being part of this. Now, I introduced you a little bit before I got you on. But just to say again that you work a lot with mothers, actually. And you sort of have these two roles. You do corporate coaching and you deal in that kind of sector. But then you also deal with mothers as well. You yourself are a mother. And almost two different flavors of the advice and support and coaching that you give. Now, I'm fascinated by this whole... Well, for myself, I'm not a mother. I'm a father. But I'm experiencing so much guilt in this time of trying to work from home and then guilty, like I'm not able to be I'm not being super present with my kids. I'm even less present than normal, which is ironic. And then B, I'm not really managing to be a very good husband in this time. And on top of it all, I've kicked my wife out of her office. She works from home. So she's not even, in here. I've turned it into a studio. So I'm struggling a little bit with some of that guilt. And then, of course, you don't manage to get as much done, or you slow on your deliverables for work, and then you feel guilty there. There's just, I think, so much guilt. And I'm fascinated. I started off by saying I'm fascinated by this moment that we're in around this. And I know that this is something that you've actually been thinking about and talking about with some of your clients. I'd love to know what your... perspective is around what you're seeing with some of your clients as you're supporting people through this time. What are people experiencing out there?
Yeah, I think, you used the word feeling just now, and I love that. I think we're feeling so much more than we normally feel. And it's not that we're feeling more. We always feel a lot. We're just often very good at running from those feelings, or distracting or busying, whatever that is. And so now I think for the most part, we're able to actually recognize those for what they are. I was just saying that on an Instagram post I posted recently, I said that it's much like us all being in rehab at the moment, and we're forced to sit with these like super uncomfortable feelings that for many of us we're not used to sitting with ever.
And what do we do about that? Let's get practical here.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of advice and help are you offering to your clients? What are you saying is the way out of some of these scenarios or situations?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing in all of this is just to almost like normalize it. It is so natural to be feeling what you're feeling and to have personalized this pandemic that we're facing. I think it's this huge world problem, but at the same time, it's affecting you on a personal level. And we said the word guilt earlier, and I think that's where there's a lot of guilt, is that we're playing these roles that we've never played before at the same time. And there's this constant sort of juggling game going on. And we feel like we're failing. And first of all, just to say that that's okay, that whatever you're feeling is totally okay. And I love that word, just to like normalize it, just to tell yourself that it is personal and it has affected you in a personal way. So I'd say that's the first thing. Another sort of big thing for me at the moment is, and I've thrown this out there a bit, and it's something that's very new for me as well, is to understand that you can feel more than one thing at the same time. Now that's an interesting one. I think most of us are like, no, but surely I'm just happy or I'm just sad, but it's never like that. You can feel a whole range of things, and maybe one's just a bit more prevalent for you, but they're all there.
Give me an example. What does that look like? I mean, like, let's give an example. What two things may we be feeling?
Okay, so So I think for me in the mum space, you might wake up and your kids wake 15 times a day, a night. They wake all day, unfortunately. But they wake all night, and I wake up and
true for dads as well, not just
moms. Dads too, for sure. And I wake up and I'm feeling frustrated, first feeling. And then suddenly I remember that it's lockdown, and now I'm like irritated too. So already it's frustrated and irritated. And then I jump out of the bed and, you know, my child walks in the room and I'm like, oh my word, I just adore, like say my little one walks in, I'm like, I just adore him. And so now there are three going on. I was frustrated, irritated, but also like totally in love. And that's all happening at the same time. And if I get caught up in one of those, I suppose then the guilt could happen, because I would be saying something like, say for instance, I see my son and I'm like, oh my word, I love him so much. And this is such a lovely season to be in, to be home with him. Then immediately, obviously, we could lead that into another emotion like guilt, when in fact, I was actually feeling frustrated too, and I was feeling irritated too, and I was feeling so heart sore for the world too. It was just that moment where that emotion felt more real.
I mean, so much of what you're sharing here reminds me of a previous episode we did, where we talked about the idea of self-compassion. I'm not sure if our viewers caught that. If you didn't get a chance to see that, I think it was episode 12. Make sure you go back and have a look at that, because it's really relevant to what we're discussing here. But in that space of feeling frustration and irritation, and also being in love with the cuteness of your kid, and then feeling guilty for not leaning into that because you've got to go and start your work day, and you know, all of those emotions that come along, it is actually, I love what you're saying about normalizing it, because actually that is the human experience, and it's okay to experience those things. And what I love about self-compassion, just to come back around to where it's a bit of a long way to get back to what I was saying, but with self-compassion, the trick of self-compassion is to be able to be present. One of the three aspects is mindfulness, to be present that this is what I'm experiencing right now, and to not be too judgmental of yourself, but rather be kind to yourself. You know, it's okay that you're feeling frustrated and full of cute love for your kid at the same time. And actually, it's okay that you're not managing all of these things. And it's okay that you're feeling guilty about not managing all of these things. I love that.
Do you know what? Yeah. I think just what you're saying there, Theron, when you said it's okay to feel those feelings and then okay to feel guilt. I think if we brought in kindness with those feelings, with frustration, with, you know, with whatever it is, loving our child, but having to work, if there was kindness in those thoughts, thought always before feeling, the thought, you know, leads onto that feeling. If there was kindness there, the guilt probably wouldn't surface as often. And so I think, I love that. I think if there was self-compassion in that sort of bracket, we might not feel as guilty, because in that moment we were able to just say to ourselves that this is so normal what I'm feeling, and I wasn't born to be a preschool teacher, which I sure as I wasn't. but I'm doing
word.
It.
I just received,
you know,
I just received some information just like the other night. I'm not sure if it's actually true, but with a suggested timetable of when the schools are going to go back. Now, I've got three young kids, 3, 5, and 7. I think they'll be there'll be 10, 13, and 15 by the time lockdown ends, I'm sure. But just found out they're only going back to school in July or something.
Yeah.
And, that's a lot to handle. It's a lot for our family. My wife is really struggling to stay on top of everything that's needed. And then, of course, school feels like they need to justify why we're paying them a salary. I mean, why we're paying them school fees.
And of course,
they
do.
They should. Yeah. You know? So everything's coming together at the same time. And it's heavy. It really is heavy. So I feel it myself, but I also see that Debbie's feeling this a lot at the same time. So, yeah, I mean, what else can you say? What other advice could you give? Do you have any other tips for us?
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the biggest things that when I speak to my clients and work with clients, I've worked with hundreds of mums, mummy guilt, for one, is something that surfaces for us all permanently. It's that pull between, like, that I love them so much, but I've got a million things to do. And all of this comes back to a thought. There's always a thought that feeds the emotion. If we go back to that thought, it's usually based on expectation and standards. I think what's in this time, what's so important is that we all make sure that we're on top of that thinking pattern, that expectation is actually set by you and not by the world. And it's one thing to scroll through Instagram and see all these people making amazing like biscuits and decorating things, and you know, their scenario is not yours. I think just really watching our thinking at the moment. I know in general they say you can spend up to 70% of your day in your head as a woman, supposedly.
Sure.
Bring in lockdown, I think 90% of the day is in our heads. So just really taking care of that space in this time, and just watching those expectations that you're placing on yourself, because if they are expectations that were never meant for you, it's very likely going to end up in guilt, which then we often react to. And that's not positive for your family or for you. So, I think that would be my biggest thing.
Reminded me again of something we've dealt with a number of times, I think, in this webinar series so far, but also we take a very strong lens on this in our MyGrow journey as well, is the whole concept of emotional addiction and how, as you were saying, thoughts lead to emotions, which lead to some kind of chemical addiction that's actually going on neurologically for us, where cells that fire together wire together. And I know that from reading a little bit about you online, that you use cognitive behavioral therapy quite a lot in your in your coaching. Tell us a little bit more about how we can, I know most of our viewers probably won't know what CBT is. Give us just a short crash course on what we can do to help us with those thoughts to be able to stop that process.
Yeah, what that is basically just that the thought feeds the emotion, which then feeds the behavior. And it becomes this sort of, you know, pattern cycle, whatever you call it. So thought first, then emotion, and then behavior. And so if we see something like guilt as an emotion, so it fitting in the middle, we know that there was a thought before that. And for me, I think this always fits in two ways with clients. There's address the thought for sure, and then also make sure that you've got a number of coping mechanisms in place for that specific emotion. With the thought of exactly what you were just saying, repeat anything enough times and it will become an addiction. So we need lots of coping mechanisms, not just like one go-to. Every time I feel something uncomfortable, I go for a run. Well, no wonder you're addicted to running if that's every time you're uncomfortable. You know, we've got to have almost like a tree coming out the middle. So just loads of options as coping mechanisms. And this is trial and error. Try things. Yeah. When you feel frustrated with the kids, walk outside. Try things. Get your brain familiar with options. For me, that's a biggie.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'd actually love to press into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Walk outside. Great idea. We've had a couple of different people talking to us about the impact of stress physiologically and how we can really reverse engineer that by treating our bodies with respect exercise-wise and things like that. We've talked about a number of different tricks and techniques. Now you're calling for loads. Give yourself loads of different coping mechanisms. Hopefully, adaptive coping mechanisms, not maladaptive ones. Give us some more examples. Go outside. Okay. What else can you do?
I think this will be so specific to you, and you need to know you to find those. My word, you're putting me on the spot when I have to think of coping mechanisms at home. But you could have
Well, what do you do? What do you do?
I'll tell you what I do. Yeah.
Tell us yours.
I love exercise, so I definitely use exercise as a coping mechanism. I also like to process things externally, so I'm an external processor. So most of my emotions I like to somehow get out there. So I do lots of live recordings where I don't think it through before. I just put stuff out there, and that helps me cope, without a doubt. That's a coping mechanism. I have a bath. I try and get time on my own to do something I enjoy. I might like design our home online. I love doing like Pinterest boards and fun stuff like that. What else do we do while we're at home? I sort out my cupboard, organize my cupboards. That again, personality wise, works really well for me. I like organizing, declutter. So I'll do something like that. I think it will be very much dependent on the person. Journaling, I think there are loads of options, but as I say, trial and error. So it's try something and then be like, say for instance, if I'm feeling sad and I go for a run, it's actually super ineffective because I overthink it. And then by the time I get back, I'm more sad. Me, that's not effective. So trial and error, I'd give that a try. Okay, so running's not great for sadness, but frustration, fantastic. So now I need to find ones for sadness. So sadness, I like to talk. So chat to my husband, phone my mum, phone a friend, journal, you know. So it's,
options. You know, the kernel I'm taking out of that is to know yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's not one golden rule necessarily. I mean, there may be some themes that really are effective for most of us, but it's not as if there's this one silver bullet that's gonna sort out the issue.
No.
But really, getting to know ourselves is a really important part of this process. Yeah. There's one more thing I'd love to touch on with you, just as a public personality like you are. One of the things we've dealt with is the potential negative impact and effects of social media and some of the studies that have been done, where we do this upward social comparison and we see these people out there and their lives are so great and it makes us ruminate and it makes us feel terrible about ourselves. You're obviously in the public space yourself, and you're aware of the fact that not all of us are obviously being able to deal with and handle these things in the same ways, and everybody's lives are different. I know, I mean, I'm a co-founder of an emotional intelligence development company. Everyone thinks my EQ is so great. It doesn't mean my EQ is so great. It means I am a co-founder of an emotional intelligence company, you know? So I'd love you to just speak to the persona that we see sometimes when we're looking online at all these different people and how that can negatively impact us emotionally. Maybe it would be great just to hear it from someone on the other side. You know, you've just shared, you also go through stuff. I don't know. Sorry, I feel like I just threw that on you without any warning.
No, that's cool. But, I like that kind of stuff.
Cool.
I think, do you know what? I think everything in life, I think we've got to realize as human beings that our brains are constantly taking in stuff all the time. And so whether you're scrolling on Instagram or watching a series, your brain is taking in messages. And so I suppose my first thing there would be just be really careful what you're following. And even for me personally, I'll go through a season where I'll be like, say, into my running, and I'll suddenly follow all these running people, and 2 weeks later I'm like, why did I even follow them? Most of them make me feel like crap about myself, and I'll unfollow all the running people. And that's cool. I think it's again like, know you and know what's good for you to take in. And a word I often say to my clients is like, what would like healthy, gorgeous, like fulfilled you want today? And to try and think of yourself as like really stable, and if I was really stable, would I still want to be seeing this? So that you can objectively take in things rather than just be swayed by them. On my own platform, I obviously try and be as real as possible. I try to take live photos and not have them staged, but for the most part, I mean, Instagram specifically is a creative space for people to post cool photos, go onto any of the travel pages and they are pumping with beautiful images, and we all follow them. So I think it's with everything you take in to not compare, but rather celebrate who you are and then take bits from that person and then mute them for a while. Don't be fed with the same person's stuff all the time. I don't think ever in life we should be. So you can mute people and they come back on again, you know, so get rid of that person for a while and hear someone new. Figure out what season you're in and who actually speaks to that season in a positive way. And if someone's making you feel really crap about yourself, unfollow. There's no harm in that. Or mute them if they're a friend. So they don't know. But protect your psyche. I think all the time, just protect what you're taking in. And, as you say, I mean, you run this company. I obviously also have to put out this certain image I threw out last year that I was seeing a psychologist, and someone messaged me and said, are you okay? And I was like, I'm actually really good. I that's kind of part of life, you know, is that we all have to journey with this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thanks so much for that. I think part of the struggle, particularly since we focused a little bit on mums here, part of the struggle, I would guess, I'm not a mum, but I would guess part of the struggle is you see all these other mums out there who are killing it. They're doing everything and on top of the schoolwork, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we're seeing that, you know, all of us are seeing that. All mothers are seeing that online. And actually, we're all human. We're all the same. Yeah. It brings me back to that those three elements of Kristen Neff's perspective on self-compassion. The common humanity, self-kindness, and mindfulness. You know, it's what I'm going through is tough, and it's what I'm going through, and it's okay, and it's okay that it's tough, and I don't need to be as amazing as Caitlin De Beer, you know.
Wow. Caitlin's saying that about someone else. So
sorry.
I said I'm saying that about someone else. Amazing.
Yeah, true.
But it's also knowing yourself. Sorry, going back what we said just now, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram, but it's something I work with a lot and that I love. And I think even as mums, it's a space I'm hoping to go into with my career soon, but is to just get to know who you are as a man, so that you can stop thinking you should be like her, because otherwise we'll spend the rest of our lives doing that. There will always be better, but if we can really know ourselves, we can be stoked just to be us. And so if that means like a dirty home, you rock it because that's you. Or if that means that you never quite have your stuff together, but you're like, I'm cool with that, then that's you.
Yeah.
So just to figure that out, you know, we've all got different personalities. I'm obviously like a goal setter and a go-getter. Doesn't mean everyone's like that. So from the outside, it might look like I've got it all together. And maybe most days I feel like I do. But then by four, if you asked my husband, he wouldn't say so. So it's, to know yourself, I think.
Well, if you can have a chat with your husband at four, then you're doing something right.
True.
Well, you're both doing something right. Debbie and I are like ships in the night at the moment, just trying to handle COVID-19. Anyway, let me not be too negative about it. There's a lot of great stuff going on as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, Caitlin, thank you so much for being willing to be on this episode with us. And thank you so much for your input and your insight. And I just want to recommend, encourage our viewers to go check out Caitlin on Instagram. We'll post her handles with this episode as well. So thanks very much.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Well, what a great interview there with Caitlin. Been meaning to catch up with Caitlin for a while, actually. There's so many points of resonance and connection between what she's doing and what we're doing at Migra. So great to finally meet her and have a chat with her. I hope that you found it helpful. I know I found some of the things she said super insightful, specifically just around that idea of normalizing that it's okay for us to be feeling all these different emotions and feelings at the same time, and that it's okay that we personalize it and make this about us. It is about us. You know, we are the ones experiencing it. So just a reminder again to be kind to yourself and to not compare yourself too much to everything else that you see out there and all the other mothers and fathers out there who seem to be getting everything perfectly right. They're not getting it right either. We're all the same. Remember those principles of self-compassion, self-kindness. Try to treat yourself like you would treat a good friend if they were struggling. Common humanity. Focus on what it is that makes you the same as others, not the thing that makes you unique. And the thing that makes you the same is we're all in this together. We're struggling together. And then thirdly, mindfulness. Just to remember to be present in the moment of what you're experiencing. That's pretty much it for today's webinar. You may be going through this alone, you may be with others, but we're all in this together. And let's remember to be kind to ourselves, to remember that being a human is not a competition, and to treat ourselves like we would treat each other, or like we would treat good friends when they were struggling. It's okay that you're struggling. It's okay that you're feeling guilty. All of these things are okay. And as Caitlin said, let's just remember to try and figure out what's going to work for us with a multitude of coping mechanisms, so that we don't just pick one and stick with that and maybe become addicted to that way of coping. Thanks very much. We will see you in the next episode.